Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
We'll begin by just simply saying, you know, when we experience salvation for the first time, I don't know, I think all of us will agree that for at least momentarily, you think that everything in your life has changed. You're excited because something happened inside that you know it's true, though you can't explain it. It's exciting, you know. You feel for the first time you've been freed from this past guilt and condemnation of this sinful life that you now believe you've been delivered from. Can I have an amen? You know something's changed on the inside. I'll never forget when I was saved. Man, it's been 51 years, but wow, it's just like yesterday for me. And then, of course, you're surrounded by people who are celebrating this experience with you. And so everything at that moment, it reminded me of this. I wrote it down. It's like the spiritual honeymoon of your new nature with your Creator, isn't it? It's your spiritual honeymoon. You're excited. You're elated. Your emotions are high. You just can't hardly believe the goodness of God. But then all of a sudden, in the process of time, over time, once the emotions wear off and you get back to doing life as you do, and slowly but surely those expressions of the old nature begin to seep back into your life. The behaviors that you thought were dead and gone have crept back into your life. And the thing that we want to look at tonight, why and how can we conquer this thing in our lives called the old nature. So I titled this message, Overcoming the Dark Side of the Christian Life. There's no such thing as a dark side of Christianity. But there is a dark side of the Christian life. And I want to talk about that because I want people to understand that as long as you are in this earthly body, you are going to be contending with a nature that's constantly resisting the new nature of the Christ-likeness on the inside of you. If you believe that and agree, say amen. In John, the 12th chapter, I'm going to turn to John 12. I want to read a scripture there, and then I've got a few scriptures to share tonight. Maybe get through, maybe don't get through them all because I can't do this all in one session anyway. But I really wanted to really address this. I know the Holy Spirit wants me to help people when it comes to this thing called what in the world happened. I thought everything changed, and all of a sudden, here comes creeping back into my life the behaviors, the thoughts, the words, the actions of very things I got thought I got delivered from. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 35, let's read that. John 12, 35. On my glasses. It says this, then said Jesus unto them. Now he's talking to his disciples. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. How many believe it tonight? You are the children of light. You are the children of light. Jesus is in your life. Amen. Verse 35 says, he that walks in darkness, that word literally means spiritual obscurity, knows not whither he goes. Now, John, this is the book of John wrote this, but he also wrote three small letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Now, in 1 John, he uses the same verbiage. In verse 8 of 1 John 2, again, John wrote, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, in Christ, and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. Now, he that saith he's in the light, watch this, and hates, now we taught on this, the word hate means to detest. It means to detest one so as to persecute him. His brother is in darkness even till now. Now, capture this now. First of all, he says, you're the light of the world. Remember we talked about that in this series. We were talking about, you know, us being the light to those that are in darkness. And then he says here, the darkness is past, the true light now shines. He that's where in you, he says, and in him, he that saith he's in the light and hates or detests as to persecute his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. How many believe that God does not want you to stumble in any area of your life? But isn't that something that relationships has everything to do with it? Your relationships, because remember, when we go to heaven, there's only two things you're taken with. Your relationships with your Heavenly Father and your relationships with one another. And these are the two areas that get attacked and abused the most. Now, if you agree, say amen to that. It's true. Absolutely. I never get in a fight with my Harley. And moving on. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on and says, but he that hates or detests his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and know not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes, or that darkness has blinded his spiritual perception, listen, of being able to see life through the eyes of God. I want to be able to every day get up and see life through the eyes of God. Because if you have that ability, then you won't be making so many wrong decisions. You won't be taking different wrong directions for your life. You'll stay right on course every day, day in and day out. You'll have the spiritual receptivity that you need. And let me tell you something. When it comes to life, you have to have spiritual clarity for everything in life, from how to have a successful marriage, how to raise children that will serve the Lord, how to have a successful business. Y'all agree with me? You need spiritual clarity. And that really is determined by how well you are seeing spiritually in your life. Now, back to John 12. This is the Amplified. You will have the light only a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Watch this. Keep on living by it so that darkness may not overtake and overcome you. He who walks about in the dark does not know where he's going. Watch this. He's drifting. How many know, or maybe you've experienced yourself for a season, of someone who drifted away from God? Anybody? They drifted away from God. And it is a process. You don't get up one morning as a Christian who you know the power of God's word, the power of his spirit, the power of his blood, the power of his name. Can I have a name? And you know, all this is glorious. And all of a sudden, you're drifting away from it. And the very standards that you once hated now are becoming, you're accepting them back into your life. It happens so slowly but surely. While you have the light, believe in the light, have faith in the light, hold on to the light, and rely on the light, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with the light. And that's what all of us want. Now, Jesus here you got to remember, Jesus has not yet surrendered his life to the cross. Therefore, the people that he was addressing, even the disciples, weren't born again. However, God gave all humanity the will and power to choose. And those Jews who recognized that they needed a Savior, they could either embrace Jesus' message or reject it. See, we can embrace the gospel or reject it. Every one of us have a will to do either or. Now turn to Luke 11. Luke 11. So overcoming the dark side of the Christian life. Amen. Why is this important? Because every one of us contend with that on a daily basis. Every one of us. Isn't that something you'd never have to call a guy at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I'm going fishing. I'm paying for everything. You want to come with? I mean, you'll be up at 3:30, so full of power and excitement, you can hardly take it. Then the pastor calls and says, hey, we're going to meet at 4 o'clock to pray for an hour at church. And all of a sudden, every demon in hell is sitting on your eyelids. You got it. Now, in Luke 11, Jesus, remember I always tell you this, and it's true. If you stay humble and you study the Bible in context, you'll never get off. Always remember that. Always remember that. Stay humble and study the Bible in context. You'll never get into error. So in this very scripture here in Luke 11, we're going to read, prior to this, Jesus is addressing the scribes and Pharisees, and he's rebuking them or reproving them because of their evil hearts of unbelief. Okay? So you can read it. I'm not going to read those verses. You can read it prior to this. Prior to verse 33, you can read it. Okay? But here's verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, Jesus says, puts it in a cellar or crypt or under a bushel measure, but on a lampstand, that those who are coming in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Just hang on now. This is the Amplified. When your eye, your conscience, is sound and fulfilling its office, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound and is not fulfilling its office, your body is full of darkness. So be careful, Jesus says, therefore, that the light that is in you is not darkness. And what's so powerful about that is the Pharisees believed with all their hearts that they were walking in the light, and they were as blind as a bat. Remember, Randy shared that on Wednesday night about John 9. The Pharisees in his day, they acknowledged that a miracle happened. They acknowledged that this guy got healed. They acknowledged that he could see, but they were so blind they refused to believe it. So when you come to church and your heart is full of divisiveness, dissension, criticalness, unforgiveness, bitterment, offense, I mean, guess what? The very things that you absolutely have to see that night, you're blinded to it because you have not made the correct adjustments on the inside. Because guess what? If you're not careful, it's always someone else's fault. I looked up the word conscience, and it means an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. You can have that. In fact, I won't read it tonight because we're running out of time. I'll read it next time we teach on this. You get to write this down, 1 Timothy 4. Paul, in 1 Timothy, Paul is addressing believers that would forsake the truth to a place where they would become seared in their conscience. They've become seared in their conscience so that no longer are they convicted by the things they used to convict them. And so these things happen to believers. That's why you have to do everything in your life to protect your own heart. If you agree, say amen. Conscience is a, this is what the fondness, is a cognitive process that elicits emotion and relational associations based on an individual's moral philosophy or value system. So you can have an evil conscience to where your value system is corrupt, or you can have a righteous conscience where you understand the truth of God's word and you walk in it. If you agree, say amen. Now, let's go on. Watch this. Be careful then that the light that is in you is not darkness. If then your entire body is illuminated, having no part dark. This always... So what does that mean, Lord? Having no part dark, it will be wholly bright with light, as when a lamp with its bright rays gives you light. So the question I want to address tonight is, what part of your Christian life is capable of causing the light within you to stop shining to those around you? Jesus tells us right here in verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye or your conscience is sound and fulfilling its office of, and I put this down because here's what office? Of yielding to the knowledge and nature of the Holy Spirit within. Your whole body will be full of light. Stop for a moment. I've said this before, but it's true. How many here agree that you can come to church on Sunday and act absolutely, I mean, you can act Christ-like for 1 hour. Raise your hand. I mean, you got it down. Amen. But what happens when we leave church and the pressure of life comes? I'm just serious. Come on, is anybody real in here? And all of a sudden, all hell is breaking out at home. Contention and strife and bickering and backbiting, arguing. What in the world happens? We've just simply refused at that those moments of time to discipline ourselves to maintain a Christ-like attitude and actions. Would you agree with that? Amen. So he says here, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye, your conscience is sound and fulfilling its office, what? Of yielding to the knowledge and nature of the Holy Spirit within, your whole body will be full of light. But when it, your conscience, is not sound and is not fulfilling its office of yielding to the knowledge and nature of the Holy Spirit within, your body is full of darkness. Verse 34, this is the Passion Bible, watch this. The eyes of your spirit, this is so beautiful, allow revelation light to enter into your being. So when your heart is open, remember now he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. When your heart is open, the light floods in. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, we went to, just let me stop for a moment. When we went to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1980, remember, a lot of you don't know this, I got gloriously saved in 71, filled with the Holy Spirit in 74, got turned on or introduced to Brother Copeland in 76, the Word of Faith, got connected then to Brother Hagen. So finally in 1980, from 1972 to 1980, actually till 81, but I was trucking full time. You know, we owned the Mayflower moving franchise, and growing in God as I traveled. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, it's time to go to Rhema. So I sat in class, and I can't even explain it. I would sit in class from 8:30 till noon every day. And then I never, and it's true, I'm just telling you the truth. I had a wife and I had 2.5 kids. Andy was born in December, and so of that year. So I was working, doesn't matter. I was working 40, 60 hours. I mean, I was working constantly. I never had read a book. I just took a lot of notes. And because I had to take care of my family. But I'll just tell you the way it was. Because we were so hungry for the truth of God's word, revelation knowledge flowed nonstop from 8:30 till noon every day. It was like, I mean, it was like eating a Schwan's ice cream with chocolate. And I mean, no, it's, that cheapens it. But I mean, it was so wonderful. It was so exciting that that's what energized me every day to go to work after listening to all this wonderful revelation knowledge. But guess what? It was for a purpose. Because, man, when we came up here and started Faith Family Church, oh, man, did we need revelation knowledge. Yeah, because warfare broke out. The very desires, the things that you wanted to see happen were attacked by the enemy because, of course, he doesn't want God to build anything that's going to succeed. Can I have an amen? Amen. Faith Family Church, you know, we do, you know, I get tired of hearing it. Well, praise God, it's 40 years. Well, yeah, but that is a milestone. Because if you really study history and you study up till this day, there are many churches, multitudes, thousands that don't last 4 or 5 years, much less 40 years. So it is a milestone. Amen. So we're proud of that. We're grateful, but let's move on. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we get close to 50 and we can start shouting hallelujah. Amen. Praises to the Lord. Right, Brandy? Amen. We can shout and celebrate then. But I just want you to know that revelation knowledge is such a gift from God. Seeing the things that you need to see for your life. Can I have an amen? Amen? So that we don't have elbow-itis. So we're always poking the one next to us and always thinking God should be speaking to them. If only so-and-so were here. Well, thank God you're here, so open up and learn. Can I have an amen? Amen? So let's go on. But when your heart is hard, when your heart is hard and closed, again, like those Pharisees Jesus was addressing, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes place. And darkness takes its place. So open your heart. So we choose, every one of us. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. Boy, don't we have opinions. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated, with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining light reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. Amen. So the Lord was telling the Pharisees, if there was anybody that should be having the light and walking in the light, it's you guys. You got the Torah. You got the Torah. You got the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, right? You got the Psalms. You got the Proverbs. If anybody should have the light, you guys should have it. But everything had to do with this right here, the heart. That's why I always encourage when you come to church, man, deal with this right away. I don't care how hurt you've been. We've been hurt by the best of them. We've been desecrated, damned by the best of them. But we still, to this very day, can walk up to anybody that's ever harmed us or hurt us and love them just as Jesus would love them. Amen. You have to get that way. Otherwise, you will live a life of offense. Amen. You'll have to put on some real dark glasses, and then you won't be able to see where you're going. Because you'll always run into somebody that hurt you, offended you, did you wrong. It's just part of life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're married, that happens in marriage. You don't wake up morning and say, I know what, today I'm going to make my wife's life miserable. How can I do that? No, you don't wake up. But sometimes we do. Moving on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So then, I'll go on just a little longer. Then once the church, now this is Gospels. You remember, in the Gospels, nobody was born again. Nobody got born again until the end of John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verse 22, if you want to know. That's when Jesus breathed out on the disciples. They were born again. This is after his resurrection, okay? But at this point, nobody's born again. So once the church age was birthed, okay, all the letters, listen to this, this is so important. All the letters to the churches by the hand of Paul, Timothy, Peter, James, John, Jude, Titus, etc., Philemon, all these guys, all carried the same theme of warning regarding spiritual darkness. Every letter. So isn't that something? That Jesus addressed it, but now all his followers were addressing it in their letters to the churches. So obviously you can be born again and still walk in darkness. That's why I want to address the dark side of the Christian life, not the dark side of Christianity. There's no such thing as a dark side of Christianity. It's all light. I said, it's all light. But because you carry this Adamic nature, where all darkness is expressed through, this is what you have to understand, know about, so that you can avoid yielding to those things. So we'll look at those in a moment, okay? Even though sinners were getting gloriously saved and changed inwardly, after Acts, in the book of Acts, listen, vigilance on their part was still required to keep the darkness out of their lives. Romans 13. We talked about this. Verse 11, put that up if you would. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. And you got to remember, remember this, the culture. Remember, when you get saved, you bring your culture into your Christianity, or you bring your Christianity into your culture. And so all of a sudden, the very things you thought were all right, now they're not right at all. The things you used to say, right? You say, every year about this time I get the flu. Well, you got to stop saying that and stop preparing for it. Right? You learn things that you had to stop for a moment and say, we can't be saying that any longer. Yeah? Yeah. Be our luck. Nothing will ever change for us. That's what, knock on wood. I can never figure that one out, knock on wood. So we got to stop saying stupid stuff that doesn't line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, that's for another time. Romans 13, verse 11. And that, Paul writing, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation, that word means our rescuing, our deliverance. And Paul is talking about the rapture. I really believe that once he completed his mission, the rapture would take place, right? Well, of course it didn't, it hasn't yet, but it's going to. So, but this, he's talking about the last days, okay? Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. Now the word far spent there means the night is increasing and advancing. Would you agree? Seems like things are getting darker and darker.
Yeah.
Come on, right? Amen. But you're not part of that.
Amen.
That means you're getting brighter and brighter.
Yeah.
Amen. And the day is at hand, or it's near. So let us therefore, watch this. He's writing to the church at Rome. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So if we have to cast off the works of darkness, obviously they are there. They are there, and that's what we wanted to address tonight. Here's what the Passion Bible says. Night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So he was believing for the rapture just like all of us, okay? So here's what Paul says. So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. We must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness. So now he talks about this dark side of the Christian life, okay? Drunkenness, debauchery, that means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. Isn't that good? I like that last part. Fully immerse yourself into the Lord Jesus, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. And I'm not going to, pick fun of my family, but I have a family member that her and her husband belong to a nudist colony in Jamaica. And it was called, you can look it up, it's called Hedonism, the colony. But they were convinced with all their hearts that they were Christians and they loved God and there was nothing wrong with it. Well, how many here would agree that there's nothing wrong with it? There's nothing wrong. Okay. Now, can you see, would you agree that something's wrong with the thought process there? Amen. Because anybody who has the Spirit of God living in them would know that that's not true. So my point, so even though they saying one thing, they were deceived because it wasn't at all true what they were saying. They really believed it was okay. Amen. They were stripped from the truth. I'll move on before I get in trouble. But anyway. Amen. We laugh every time we went over there. Too often get their house, but if we went to their house, we'd have to flip over the pictures of them nude on the beach and stuff. What an ugly thing. It's just ugly. I'm sorry, the human body is ugly. I mean, I'm just telling you. Amen. Unless, of course, you have a problem with lust. All right, let's move on. Hallelujah. So... I got to keep going here. Okay, I read that. So guess what? Those are the things that were hindering the kingdom of light being advanced in the first century church, and that's something that is hindering the kingdom of light of being advanced in the 21st century church, because that is a problem in the church. That's a problem. Again, if you have 60, 70% of Christian adult men that are into pornography, then we have a problem. I said we have a problem. I'm just telling you. And I don't know. And I don't. I can't live with you. I don't want to live with you, even though I love you. But I've lived there. First 20 years of my life, I lived consumed, bound by lust. And it's so tormenting. It's so oppressive. It's so evil. It's so dark. I just don't want to live there. And I'm sorry, you may think I'm just an old coot that doesn't have any sexual or sensual desires. Just an old coot. No, that isn't. I mean, there's many preachers my age that have fallen. Many. Amen. Why? Because they didn't correct what was going on the inside. Amen. I'm just saying, we just have to live a wiser time since the culture is getting so corrupt. We have to get even more brighter. Would you agree with that, guys and gals? Amen. Amen. When one becomes a child of God, you are definitely changed on the inside, but not on the outside. And the greatest enemy that comes between you and your desire to be Christ-like is not the devil, but it's your Adamic nature. We'll read a couple of verses here to confirm this, and then we'll close for tonight. The Adamic nature through which every fleshly appetite and unholy desire comes from. Amen. The nature through which all sin is expressed and manifested through. It's your Adamic nature. Go like this. Just go like this. This is your Adamic nature right here. Again, you're a three-dimensional creature. I know today we're so obsessed with the natural. We're obsessed with the outer. And, we're sucking on everything. We're tightening up everything, because we just want to look so right. And then starving the real person on the inside. There's nothing wrong. Take care of yourself, get in shape, whatever. But don't let the outside of your life overcome and conquer the inside of your life. Can I have an amen? So here, in, Paul addresses these fleshly appetites or unholy desires in his letter to the church in Galatia, okay? And he calls them works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19, this is the King James. It says, now the works of the flesh, that word works is the acts or the expressions of the flesh are these. And it gives you a list, which we'll read those in a moment. The New Living Translation says, when you follow, that what that simply means is God's given you the power of choice. You can either follow your spirit nature or your flesh nature. That's up to you, okay? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, he's writing to the church. Say this out loud, I have a sinful nature. Now, I wish we didn't. We have a Christ-like nature on the inside. You cannot get any more saved than what you are tonight. Christ is inside of you. He lives in you. We'll look at read hopefully a scripture that confirms this, okay? You can't get any more saved on the inside. Christ is in you, but you carry an Adamic nature. This body, this natural house came from Adam, right? Goes all the way back to Adam. And this is where we have our greatest challenges, okay, to life. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. What are they? Just like up here, what we read earlier in Romans. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. See, this is what he says. So this is the dark side of the Christian life. And it's something we're called and equipped to conquer, okay? Put the Passion Bible up there. The behavior of the self-life, isn't that good? The behavior of the self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? Now, I don't know. Whatever. I'm not here saying that if you practice these things, you're going to miss heaven. But he says you will not experience, not inherit the kingdom realm of God. The kingdom of God, the other translation says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The word kingdom of God, according to Romans 14, 17, it says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, how many want righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost in your life? Amen. That's what makes us different than others. We want to be happier. Amen. We want to be more in control. We don't want to be freaking out when things happen. We want the answer to give the answers for all that's happening. Praise the Lord. Amen. Again, here's another one. I'll read one more. This is Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Corinthian believers. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Here it is. Surely you must know that people, or again, he's writing to the church, so it's Christians. Christians who practice evil cannot possess God's kingdom realm. Stop being deceived. Stop being deceived. People who continue to engage in sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality, fraud, greed, drunkenness, verbal abuse, or extortion, these will not inherit God's kingdom realm. Now, it's true that some of you once lived in those lifestyles. It's true.
Amen.
Did any of you live in any of these lifestyles? Come on, raise your hand, be honest. Okay, I can put both hands up.
Amen.
But that's no excuse to stay there.
That's right.
Or to go back there.
Amen.
Okay? Some of you lived in those lifestyles, but now you have been purified from sin, made holy, and given a perfect standing before God, all because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Watch this, and through our union with the Spirit of our God. The Holy Ghost won't lead you into a porno great deal. He's not going to lead you into a triple X video store. He's going to lead you as far away from that stuff as possible. Praise God. Well, that's just part of it. I mean, it's all these other things that we have to deal with too. It is, you know, whether it's fraud, greed, drunkenness, verbal abuse, or extortion. You'd be shocked. And again, whatever, you have to live your life. But you'd be shocked of believers that drink alcohol. You'd be shocked. And they say, well, we do it, what's that, what do they call it?
Moderation.
Moderation. Yeah, moderation. Yeah, we just, it's moderate. We sit down, we just, you know, every night we sit down, we have our glass of wine and stuff, it kind of calms us down. You know, doesn't the Holy Ghost calm you down? I'm just saying, you know, again, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but isn't there a time where you just stop for a moment and say, okay, you know, we drink the fake stuff, what do you call it? I mean, it's good. Yeah. We had communion the other night, Vicky and I did, and the grape sparkling, man, that stuff's delicious. I drink a whole bottle of it. It's just, and I'm not gonna feel good. I might feel a little, but I mean, it's just good stuff. I don't have to have alcohol in anything. I'll move on. I'll still love you. Doesn't matter. Go ahead and get that. Tell her you'll be home in a few moments. I'll finish with this verse here. Turn to the Passion Bible on that, and we'll just finish this. Don't you know that your bodies belong to Christ as his body parts? Should one presume to take the members of Christ's body and make them into members of a harlot? Absolutely not. Aren't you aware of the fact that when anyone sleeps with a prostitute, he becomes a part of her, and she becomes a part of him. For it has been declared the two become a single body. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. That is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. For every other sin a person commits is external to the body, but immorality involves sinning against your own body. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Holy Spirit of holiness? Who lives in you? You won't belong to yourself any longer for the gift of, you don't belong to yourself any longer for the gift of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside your sanctuary. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? Say the Holy Spirit lives in me. I mean, he really does. I mean, he really, really does. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One more verse. Do the message. Because it's the same verse, is only in the message. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, see, sex is holy. I mean, it's so holy within the context of marriage. Amen. You know, when you're in the marriage union and you're having an intimate relationship, God doesn't turn his head. God, okay, go ahead. When you're done, let me know. No, because see, the world has made it dirty. The world has made it filthy. It's holy. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. Did you know that there's never, science has proven it, there's never been a sexual disease between two people that have been together that never had slept with anybody else? Never. Amen. And it should, I mean, that's God blessing something. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. No, I mean, this is the Bible. This is the Bible, okay, but we're reading, okay? Now watch this. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As it is written, the two become one. Now, since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever, the kind of sex that can never become one. I get so grieved. You guys and gals, you'll be shocked of the men and women that have gotten together, God ordained to be together, but because they practice their sexuality consistently to see if this thing's going to work, and that thing falls apart. It didn't fall apart because they weren't designated or chosen to be together. It's because of their compromise, and the devil gets in and destroys something that was of God. And I know many people have had a sexual experience in their relationship and ended up getting married and have stayed married, and they're good. How many are glad for God's love and mercy? Thank God for, I'm serious about that. But the fact is, I think of the book of James, he that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so it saddens my, that's why I always ask people, hey, how long have you been married? Oh, we're living together. Oh, I say, the Bible calls that sin. And God loves you and he can't bless you if you're just living together. So get married. Get married as quick as you can. Amen. And guess what? We've had couples that get married in small private weddings and then get married later in a bigger wedding. And because that's the way it should be. I mean, if you can't contain yourself, my goodness, get married, do it right so God can bless you. Can I have an amen? Amen. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from others, all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? So don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole work, so let people see God in and through your body. Amen. 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 Let's stand. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm sorry I've kept you so long, because we got to still. I want to pray tonight. How many will mix your faith with me for good weather for our Christmas production? Yeah. But I just want to pray for you tonight. And I'm not here to, I'm just here to share the word of God with you. And then you take it and you say, God, help me to walk out these things in my life. And I just wish so bad, you know, when we got saved, that very instant we were delivered. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, literally, no temptation. No, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. I mean, just no temptations. But guess what? You'd be as arrogant as they can be.
Yeah.
You'd be putting yourself up here.
Yeah.
When every one of us are no different than the world out there except for Jesus.
Amen.
And the Word of God.
That's right.
So bow your head. I want to pray for you today. Amen. And again, I wish I could lay my hands on you and everything would turn out right for you, but that's not the case. Do you remember what the Lord said to me? I asked him, sir, how do you overcome lust? What's the key to overcoming lust? And the Holy Spirit said to me, so beautifully and clearly, he said, you must starve it. And I'd never heard of that before. I'm sure he's told other people the same thing. And then I said, immediately out of my mouth, I said, okay, sir, that's okay. But you're going to have to take me to the scriptures and confirm that. And I sat down and I wrote 200 pages on the subject of lust. What it is, what the Bible says about it, and how to conquer it. Amen. And so God has given you and I the power of choice. To choose light or darkness, death or life, blessing, cursing. We choose. So as you bow your head tonight, if there's any of you saying, Pastor, I choose life tonight, not death. I choose blessing, not cursing. I choose light and not darkness. Pray for me that God will strengthen me so that I can conquer these attacks and temptations in my life. Lift your hand if anybody like that. Thank you. No, I mean that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know. I've got friends of mine. I mean, they've had great challenges with this arena of pornography, but thank God we can starve it and we can conquer it. I said, we can starve it, we can conquer it. Number two, it takes time. If let me say to this couple, if you're living together, stop living together. That may be hard, may be difficult, but make the adjustments biblically, and God will grace you. Get married. And you, I mean, I can't, these guys, it grieves my heart, they have sex with these women, then they leave them pregnant. I mean, there should be a law that any guy that gets a woman pregnant has got to take care of that kid till he's 18. I'm serious about that. I mean, it's, I'm grieved in my heart. These women have to carry these children. I mean, it's just what they have to go through because of the sickening thing called lust. And but I just want to pray for that. God will strengthen every one of you in your lives. Every one of you in your lives. Just close, bow your head and lift your hands towards heaven. Father, I pray for everyone in here, all the men and women, God. I thank you, Father, so much for your grace and your love and for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within. Everybody thank him. The Holy Spirit within us. Everybody thank him for that. And Father, we repent tonight for our compromises, whether it's morally, whether it's just our criticalness, unforgiveness, offense, whatever it is, God, our attitudes, our stinking attitudes, God, please forgive us, Father. Please cleanse us from all our unrighteousness tonight. We want to be people of love and people of holiness, people that carry your presence into this world. We want to conquer the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can you give God praise for that? So, Lord, strengthen each one tonight, God. Open up the eyes of their understanding. When they read the Bible, God, may revelation flow into their hearts, God, and with that revelation, a divine impartation of your grace and strength, God, so that they will become greater and mightier men and women of faith. And, Father, thank you. And, Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Everybody praise him for that. Thank you for the depths of your love and mercy tonight. We will always praise you for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.